or tune to the great Southern Sounds of Melbourne, 88.3 Southern FM.
You're listening to The Space Show with Andrew Rennie. When, in 2005, the South Korean government decided to fly an astronaut to do experiments aboard the International Space Station, it placed advertisements in the newspapers. 36,000 Koreans applied. During 2006, rigorous medical, psychological, written and other tests whittled that number down. By 2006 December, only two contestants remained, a man and a woman. It was later announced that the man would fly and the woman, although receiving equal training, would remain on the ground as a backup. In 2007 March, the pair reported to the Gagarin Cosmonaut Training Center in Star City, located in the woodlands just outside of Moscow. For the next 13 months, they learned how to be astronauts. They also mastered the scientific experiments they would do aboard the space station. Then, in a controversial decision, the Russian Space Agency ruled that they would not fly the prime Korean candidate, Kosan. Instead, just days before the launch, the backup became the prime. And so it came to pass that Soyeon Yi found herself sitting in a cramped Soyuz spacecraft with two Russian cosmonauts atop a living, breathing Soyuz rocket out on the steppes of Kazakhstan. Someone who had been destined to be a forgotten footnote in Korean history was suddenly the most famous person in the nation. So who was Soyeon Yi? Well, she was born in 1978, June the 2nd. By the year 2000, she was a researcher at the Digital Nano Locomotion Center, which is a division of the Korean Advanced Institute of Science and Technology. During the first half of 2003, she took leave to be a visiting research scholar at the University of California, Berkeley. She was back working at the institute as a scientist when she heard about the call for astronauts and applied. She was aged 29 when she walked across the launch pad towards the gantry lift that would take her to the nose cone of the waiting rocket. On the way to the launch pad, she had been supported and encouraged by Valentina Tereshkova. Yes, the same Valentina Tereshkova who, as a 26-year-old, had made the same walk to the lift in 1963. She rode Vostok 6 into orbit to become the first woman in space. Here is how Radio Moscow reported her conversation with Premier Nikita Khrushchev. At 3 years older than Tereshkova had been, Soyeon Yi was about to become the second youngest female space traveller. When Tereshkova blasted off in 1963, one New Zealand newspaper headlined its report, "Cosmonet says she's feeling fine." Fortunately, the term "cosmonet" didn't catch on, although the same newspaper repeated the term for several days. Tereshkova had been the sole occupant aboard Vostok 6. Soyeon Yi had two companions aboard Soyuz TMA-12. They were Russian cosmonauts Sergei Volkov and Oleg Dmitrievich. As a point of interest, Sergei Volkov is the son of Alexander Volkov. You possibly don't remember Alexander. He, too, was a cosmonaut with 216 days in space under his belt. These were accumulated in three space missions. The first was Soyuz T-14 in 1985. The second was 3 years later aboard Soyuz TM-7, and the third was Soyuz TM-13 in 1991. Soyuz TM-7 was big news in France because Frenchman Jean-Louis Chrétien was aboard. So the father escorts a French astronaut, or spationaut if you insist, into space on a visit to the Mir space station. And the son escorts a Korean astronaut into space to visit the International Space Station just 20 years later. So here we are at the Baikonur Cosmodrome on 2008, April the 8th. We have dug into our Space Show archive vault and brought out this recording of the countdown to the launch of Soyuz TMA-12. Well, actually, Suyun pointed out to us during her visit to Melbourne that, unlike the Americans and Europeans, the Russians don't do countdowns. When they're ready, they just push the ignition button and away they go. Our commentator is a NASA public affairs officer with a Russian translator also telling us what is being said.
Countdown proceeds on schedule for liftoff of the Soyuz TMA-12 just 8 minutes from now. We're standing by for commands to be sent to switch power from ground sources to the Soyuz's onboard batteries. Once it reaches orbit, the Soyuz's command and control system will be activated. Stored computer commands will deploy communications antennas. The first will be a rendezvous and docking antenna, ultimately used to provide automatic range rate information on the final approach to docking with the International Space Station's Pirs docking compartment on Thursday morning. During the two-day transit to the International Space Station, the crew on board the Soyuz, Sergei Volkov, Oleg Kononenko, and Soyun Yi, will be communicating directly with the flight control team at the Russian Mission Control Center outside Korolyov during the periods in which the Soyuz passes over Russian ground stations. And in the launch control center, the so-called launch key is inserted in the bunker, providing the final readiness for launch. All of the launch parameters on track.
Ready for launch.
The downrange trajectory for the Soyuz will carry it across Mongolia, China, ultimately reaching its preliminary orbit over the Sea of Japan. On board the International Space Station and the Destiny Laboratory, the Expedition 16 crew, Peggy Whitson, Yuri Malenchenko, and Garrett Riesman, watching a television feed being uplinked to them of the launch of their successors, and for Riesman, his new crewmates, Volkov and Kononenko. At the T-minus 4.5 minute mark,
purge.
The engine combustion chambers now being purged with nitrogen. This is the precursor to the booster tanks being pressurized for flight at the T-minus 2-minute 30-second mark. The parents of Soyun Yi watching from the VIP viewing stand at the Baikonur Cosmodrome in Kazakhstan.
Pressurize.
The booster tanks on the Soyuz now being pressurized for flight at the 2.5-minute mark. All systems are go for launch.
You'll note the mention there of Suyun's mother. Suyun told us at her Melbourne lecture that her mother didn't want to go to the launch. She didn't want to see her daughter die. And Suyun also told us that at this time, the three cosmonauts are laid back on their specially molded couches with nothing in particular to do. They can't even hear the countdown that the Russians don't have. And so in this time-edited commentary, we now follow Soyuz TMA-12 into orbit.
The first umbilical tower now moving away, T-minus 34 seconds. The second umbilical will move away from the Soyuz at the T-minus 15-second mark. T-minus 15 seconds, standing by for main engine ignition.
Start.
T-minus 5, 4, 3. Main engine start. 2, 1, 0. And liftoff.
Immediate liftoff.
Liftoff of the next residence of the International Space Station. The Soyuz has cleared the tower. Pitch and roll program initiated according to flight controllers. Soyuz heading on the proper trajectory and azimuth for its two-day chase to reach the International Space Station.
20 секунд полет нормальный. Давление в камере сгорания в норме.
L plus 20 seconds. Everything is nominal. Combustion chamber pressure is nominal.
Good first stage performance. The Soyuz delivering 102 tons of thrust from its four boosters and its single first stage engine.
50 секунд, полет нормальный.
Plus 50 seconds. Nominal. Launch vehicle parameters are nominal. On board, everything.
The Soyuz now reaching maximum dynamic pressure as it leaves the first traces of Earth's atmosphere.
60 seconds. All of the yaw, pitch, and roll are nominal. 70 seconds, nominal.
80 parameters.
Plus 80 control system parameters for the launch.
At the 2-minute mark, the 4 strap-on boosters will be jettisoned. They will have completed their job and will drop away at an altitude of about 28 statute miles. Everything in good shape on the Soyuz.
100 seconds. Thrusters are stable. 110, roll, pitch, and your nominal.
First stage separation.
Side thrusters and stage 1 separated. Feeling fine.
That effect of the strap-on boosters falling away, called the Cross of Korolyov, the legendary general designer for RSC Energia.
Nominal, other parameters are nominal. 150 seconds.
Inside the Soyuz TMA-12, a gentle ride so far for Sergei Volkov and Oleg Kononenko, joined by So Yun Yi.
Copy and confirm. Feeling fine. Everything is nominal on board. Copy.
Now traveling at a speed of about 4,700 miles an hour, the Soyuz second stage performing as advertised.
Eri Dani, is control descent on? Yes. Sending the R-13 command now. Copy. Yeah, we can see Sayong.
Waving and a thumbs up from the youngest woman ever to fly in space, So Yun Yi, the 29-year-old South Korean researcher en route to the International Space Station.
200 seconds. Stage 2 thrusters are nominal. 210. Launch vehicle is nominal.
4 minutes into the flight, the second stage continues to perform as advertised. The core booster will burn out a short time from now and separate at an altitude of 105 miles. That will set the stage for the ignition of the third stage.
250 seconds, roll, pitch, and your nominal.
All quiet on board the Soyuz TMA-12.
320. Structural parameters of the launch vehicle and flight parameters are nominal.
Coming up on the 6-minute mark, Soyuz heading downrange in good shape, heading for its preliminary orbit.
350 seconds. Everything is nominal. We're feeling fine. Everything is nominal on board. Copy.
Echoing the words of his cosmonaut father, Alexander Volkov, 35-year-old Commander Sergei Volkov, reporting everything in good shape on board the Soyuz TMA-12.
380 seconds, nominal. Stage 3 thrusters are working as they should.
Coming up on the 7.5-minute mark into the flight, velocity now almost 13,500 miles an hour for the Soyuz.
400 seconds. Pitch, yaw, and roll are nominal. We are fine on board and feeling fine.
Once the third stage delivers the Soyuz to orbit and the module is separated, a series of pre-programmed commands will be executed to prepare it for orbital operations, including stored commands called time tags, allowing many of the Soyuz's systems to be automatically activated by onboard computers at precise times.
Parameters and the launch vehicle are nominal.
Less than a minute of powered flight remaining for the Soyuz.
500 seconds. Launch vehicle stabilization is nominal.
Standing by for third stage cutoff and separation. Third stage SEP now confirmed. The single liquid fuel engine is now shut down and is dropping away at an altitude of 125 statute miles.
Copy. Eri Dani, I am transferring COM to 10. Congratulations to the entire crew.
And did you spot the error in that NASA commentary? Because So Yun Yi was not the youngest female in space, as I said before, it was Valentina Tereshkova. Well, once in orbit, the astronauts begin to navigate their Soyuz spacecraft toward the International Space Station, and this takes 2 days. After docking, the newly arrived trio of astronauts are given a safety briefing by the 3 resident crew members. Then it was down to work for the next 8 days. Meanwhile, down here on Earth, the media are going ballistic. The Korean female is the focus of their attention. Here is an example from Britain's ITN.
T-minus 5, 4, 3, main engine start.
If there is such a thing as a glass ceiling for women in their careers, this is certainly one way to smash through it.
Liftoff of the next residence of the International Space Station. The Soyuz has cleared the tower.
Yi So-yeon is a 29-year-old female nanotechnology engineer, and she's just lifted off from the launch pad on her way to the International Space Station. Not only that, she's also South Korean, and she's the first person of that nationality to travel to space. She's blasted off from Kazakhstan with 2 other Russian cosmonauts. Back in her native Seoul, thousands have gathered to see the launch on a big screen. They clapped and cheered at her achievement. South Korea's new president, Lee Myung-bak, has pledged to boost space science and development. Yi So-yeon was originally a reserve, but was picked at the last minute after Russia accused the original chosen crew member of removing sensitive documents from a training center. He later apologized. The South Korean government paid Russia around $25 million for the right to send one of their engineers into space. The team of astronauts on the Soyuz spacecraft will conduct scientific experiments at the International Space Station on an 11-day mission.
Now, if all the hype expended by the Korean media were bottled up, it could have propelled So-yeon's forlorn, rejected astronaut compatriot Ko-san into orbit. Here's a sample interview by reporters on the ground with So-yeon Yi and American astronaut and space station commander Peggy Whitson. By the way, Peggy later became chief of NASA's astronaut office.
Because you start to prepare for the return, could you describe your feeling? And do we have any special plans for that?
I cannot hear that. Could you tell me once again?
You start to prepare for the return already. Could you describe your feeling now? And do we have any special plans for that?
Just after hearing your question, I know that I do better prepare for the landing because time flies so fast. I cannot feel that already 3 or 4 days went away. And then, actually, right now, I don't want to go back. I want to fly longer than before, but I cannot do that, so I do better prepare for that. And then now I already finished 1 experiment, and all other experiments are just the end of the process, so I'd better pack up all the experiments for the researchers, and then also I'd better make up some films for the children to make them a dream. And then maybe I'm thinking about some special things, but all the International Space Station is just exposed to all the people, so I don't know what is special for the Korean people, but after that, I will think about that carefully.
Thank you. And I have a question to Commander Mrs. Wilson, Peggy Wilson. Commander Wilson, Lee So-yeon has expressed her respect to you and your accomplishments. What's your evaluation of her as the first Korean astronaut?
Ian has done a phenomenal job while she's been up here, and it's great having her laugh and smile and be so excited about being in space. It really is a pleasure to have her on board with us, so we have really enjoyed her company, and we enjoyed her Korean food. Some of us like it spicy.
Thank you.
Ms. Wisdom, please hand your microphone to Soyeon again, please. Soyeon? Yes. Soyeon, most people in Korea are expecting your successful space flight. Could you tell me your message for them, please? For Korean people.
Yeah, from here, I always think about that, and then we do better love each other more than before, and then we do better praise each other more than before, and then not anymore criticize each other anymore, and then because we are all in a really, really beautiful art, so we do better make our life more beautiful because we deserve to do that. Earth is really beautiful, so we do better. Yeah, maybe we should, and then we have some kind of job to do that, and then let's make love, and then let's make beautiful, and then let's make really big love to each other and for our happiness. I want to tell that.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
In 1963, newspaper reports said, and we quote, the Soviet cosmonaut Valentina Tereshkova was heard singing while traveling through space yesterday. The report quoted the official Soviet news agency TASS as saying, and we quote, her song was heard by a ground observation post, but over the radio frequency it was not possible to recognize her song. Well, as Soyeon told me during our conversation in Melbourne, which you can hear in a few minutes here on the Space Show, she considered becoming an opera singer rather than a scientist. Before her space mission, Soyeon had promised to sing in space. She kept her word.
Yes, right. You can feel that there is so noise, and because there is so many fans in ISS. And before going to the ISS, I promised with my friends to sing in on board. So to keep my promise, I should find some time to sing. And then fortunately, the one day before landing day, so it's the last night of my ISS thing, and I can have a time after dinner. At the time to send us, all of the astronauts in ISS gathered together and then have a dinner. And then we feel a little depressed because three of them should leave tomorrow. And then, but also very happy because we can talk freely. So, and then I decided that it's a really right time to sing. And then this song is Fly Me to the Moon. And then you, as you heard, Fly Me to the Moon and Let Me Play Among the Stars. Yeah. It's really kind of dream. So even before becoming an astronaut, I love this song. So whenever I have a time to sing, and I sing this song. And then even in Korea, we have some kind of cell phone service. So if you call to me, you don't have to hear ringing, boring ringing. You can hear this song because I set this song for my ringing sound. So not for me, not for you. I set that. And then anytime if you call me, you can hear this song. And then some journalists ask me, and then because you are an astronaut, you set this song. But I don't think so because I set this service even before selection process, maybe around the third or fourth grade of my undergraduate. And I love this song very much. So finally, I succeeded to sing in ISS, and then I keep my promise.
After 10 days in space, it was time to pack up and get ready to return to Earth. Her Soyuz TMA-12 cosmonaut companions would be staying aboard the space station for a 6-month tour of duty, along with their spacecraft. Soyeon would be returning aboard the Soyuz TMA-11 spacecraft that had been docked to the space station for half a year. Her descent companions would be American Peggy Whitson and Russian Yuri Malenchenko. On 2008, April the 19th, Soyuz TMA-11 undocked from the International Space Station and moved away from the football field-sized complex. Once clear of the station, Yuri Malenchenko ignited some rocket thrusters to slow his craft so that it began a long arcing descent toward the atmosphere. Friction with the air would slow the capsule until parachutes opened for the final descent to the steppes of Kazakhstan. During the re-entry, the command module was supposed to orient itself so that aerodynamic lift could be used to guide it towards a pre-selected landing area where recovery crews were already waiting. However, the Soyuz failed to orient correctly, resulting in the capsule following a ballistic trajectory. This caused much higher than normal deceleration. The crew experienced greater so-called G-forces than usual. It also caused the craft to land way off target, meaning that it took a while to get recovery crews to the landing spot. It was a worrying time for both Korean and American space officials. The following is a recording of the astronaut's first comments after being found. Recorded at the landing site, its quality makes it a little hard to hear. At one point, you can distinctly hear Soyeon Yi say, "Thank you for rescuing me."
마지막 브리티스 푸스크까지 해서 정사 다 너무 멋진 경험이었습니다. 감사합니다.
바로 꼬이 뽑아까지.
감사합니다. Спасибо большое.
감사합니다.
Yuri, how was the re-entry? Well, it was interesting. Interesting is a good description. Did you enjoy it? Did you feel like on merry-go-round? Well, pretty much so. Did the search and rescue team locate you right away? Yes. But you were quite far away.
No.
That was like an unusual point of landing. And how do you feel? I'm all right. Would you like to go to space one more time? I'd love to. Because my flight was very short, only 10 days. I would like to go on a long duration flight and be there for 6 months, just like Yuri Ivanovich.
Once word that the crew was safe reached NASA Space Station Program Manager Mike Saffredini, he had this conversation with a NASA Public Affairs Officer. Again, the recording quality is not the best.
ISS Program Manager Mike Saffredini. Mike, an eventful day, but one with a happy ending. Your thoughts as you learned with the rest of us on the helicopters about the ballistic landing and the outcome with Peggy heading home now?
Well, let's see. You're always concerned about the crew on any entry vehicle, and so when we had a few moments there, we weren't exactly sure whether they'd done a ballistic entry or something else, and so we were very happy when we heard that they'd done a ballistic entry, and in fact, even more so when we got word from the crew that they were safe and sound. Of course, they're on their way back now on the helicopters here to Kustanai, and we're looking forward to seeing them here in just a few moments.
I'm always struck by the choreography of the Russian search and recovery forces and how quickly they can mobilize into a non-conventional situation. What were you thinking about? Because you're very familiar with all of this choreography.
Yeah, they're a very adaptive organization, and so the most interesting thing about this is it's not easy to know exactly where the Soyuz spacecraft is, and it seems like a spacecraft coming out of the sky under parachutes is an easy thing to see, but in fact, it's actually more difficult than you think. So there were some moments where they weren't exactly sure where the spacecraft was yet and quite located. And at that point, they had to be very flexible and figure out, okay, if it's this, what do we do? If it's that, what do we do? But they're very nimble on their toes, and they're an outstanding organization, this team that we've worked with now for several entries, and always impressive. And so, yeah, I was in the middle of it today, and they showed us how good they are today once again.
There will be some work to do, obviously, on a postscript, this being the second consecutive ballistic landing that a Soyuz has encountered. Any thoughts about what might occur as an investigation or an inquiry a technical inquiry might be mounted in this regard?
Well, our Russian colleagues are very thorough, so I would expect another commission to be appointed and a thorough review of the data and a recommendation for what we should do to make sure we don't have one in the future. Of course, a number of anomalies can cause a ballistic entry, and a ballistic entry if you will, a normal contingency mode, so it's a perfectly safe entry mode. But in spite of that, we don't really want to put the crews through, and we want to know what anomalies have occurred that cause us to be in the ballistic reentry. And so I would expect the same setup, a thorough investigation through a commission, a recommendation for how to repair or recover from this whatever this anomaly was. And, of course, if it's related to the last anomaly, that'll add data to the last ballistic reentry as well.
Comments following the rough re-entry of Soyuz TMA-11. Well, Soyuz Yi's flight lasted 10 days, 21 hours and 13 minutes. When she returned to South Korea, she was a hero. She soon began a whirlwind of media appearances and public speaking engagements. These events have brought Soyuz as far afield as Australia. Last month, she was in Melbourne to give a talk to Engineers Australia. No one was permitted to record her talk, so we can't bring that to you. We can, however, give you a taste of the event. Last year, she was a guest of the Australian National University at an event held to mark the centenary of Mount Stromlo Observatory. Here is a snippet of what she had to say there.
Thank you for giving me this kind of precious chance to talk with you. I'm not an astronomer, sorry about that. I'm an engineer, and I don't have any idea about astronomy at all, even though I'm an astronaut. Because some people have bias. If he is an astronaut, she should be know about astronomy or something. But our space station is just above 400 kilometers, so still very near to the Earth, so not that far. Actually, space station is kind of like laboratory and a branch of the Earth, and then just 400 kilometers. You can imagine that if with your sphere, and then just stay on the Earth. And today we just have 10 minutes, so I want to show just a short notice. But one thing is that we could do that in space. Yeah.
Well, at this point, to great hilarity, she showed a photo of herself floating, Buddha-like, in the International Space Station. Well, as I explained, no one, not even the space show, was allowed to record Soyuz Yi's public talk here in Melbourne. However, she did consent, with the kind permission of the Korea Advanced Institute of Technology, Institute of Science and Technology, to give the space show an interview. Now, you can join my chat with her after this message.